Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm your host, Michael Hales. Today, we have Matthew Curran and Clay Stevenson on to discuss their thoughts on the different styles of goalies from different countries. First off, welcome both of you. I know it's off season. You guys are probably loving life and enjoying outdoors. Matthew, you a little less being in Boston, but Clay, you a little bit more being in Kelowna.
Yeah, right. Get the beach every day, right after workout.
Oh, man. Yeah. So nice. I just got to class.
I bet if we zoomed out on his camera, it's just going to be a pile of books.
Yeah, dude, I told you. I'm just living the dream out here.
Anyways, any country that you guys wanted to start with? We have Russia, Canada, US, Sweden, Finland, and even a little bit of Latvia.
I won't be too strong on Latvia, but we can start with the Russian guys.
Yeah. All right, sounds good to me. So just open conversation, a little bit different. We have three people on, which is kind of new. Anybody want to take it off with what they feel like the strengths and weaknesses are of the Russian goaltenders? There's two evident ones, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just like putting it to my game, like taking that a lot of like the skating, especially watching Bobrovsky. And Shesterkin, especially like a lot of post play and kind of just little skating techniques that I've incorporated into my game. I think you ask any guy who like some of the top goalie skaters in the NHL are, Bobrovsky's name is going to come up, Shesterkin's name's going to come up. It's pretty remarkable the level of control those guys have, and just know exactly where their positioning is going to take them. Like you look at Bobrovsky, what he did in playoffs, a large part of that is due to his skating ability.
Yeah, a little devastating that you left Vasilevsky off your list there, but we'll let you slide.
I'll let Clay take on the big guys.
Fair.
Yeah, no, like I definitely agree. You know, I mean, you break down a game, I mean, you're stopping pucks for what, like a minute of the game maybe, and the rest of it you're just skating to get into position. And yeah, I'd agree, those like a lot of those guys like Vasilevsky and Shesterkin, and you know, I like Sorokin a lot in there too. I mean, I think I feel like I have a lot of similarities now to that, his kind of style. But yeah, like just, they're always, you know, up at the top, not giving away room, like fighting through traffic. You don't really see those guys retreating a lot, and just really crisp laterally. I mean, they're not expending too much extra energy. Like pretty, you know, just efficient and smooth and really powerful and explosive, I think is a big theme with Russian goalies. Cause yeah, and then I mean that can lead to like over aggressiveness too, or I think in the like the modern day pro style of goaltending, you know, you're gonna get burned if you're just too aggressive a lot of the time and too on the shooters all the time. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting to think. Obviously, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know any Russian goalies that aren't in the NHL. And trying to put the pieces of why are they so explosive, but yet so controlled, right? Like the athleticism in Bob, in Shesterkin, and Vasilevsky, you can see that they're crazy athletes, but they're also very controlled at the same time to an extent, right? Being in the splits for half the game is a bit crazy, but it'd be cool to see what it was like when they were growing up and either the amount of coaching they received and didn't receive or just the differences, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if like how true it is, but I've heard like a lot of the elite Russian goalies get, you know, put on very below par defensive teams that like give up a lot, and you know those guys like from a young age get put in situations in the games where they're facing just a ton of rubber, and it kind of just like that whole aspect of it just makes you be a lot calmer in that chaos of getting a lot of shots, and you know your conditioning is always there just to be on it all the time, you know.
I've heard a big part of it is that they don't get as much like technical coaching when they're younger. Like a lot of the pro goalies, like they grew up where they were very raw. Like they were athletes first, and then became goalies. Whereas like they're playing the game, like they're just playing, they're stopping the puck. It's not so much like, all right, we're gonna work on our angles, like positioning, like this stuff. Like it's get your body in front of the puck. And then as they got older, they obviously got the coaching kind of stepped in and then just fine tune that. Where I think if we start talking about kind of Canadian, US goalie, North American goalies, we're very much a lot more of the, all right, technique first and then kind of stop pucks.
I agree with you 100%. I was gonna bring that up like right after you were gonna say that.
It's very like you watch like Carey Price, Carter Hart, like that style of goaltending compared to like Vasilevsky, Shesterkin. Like obviously they're both very controlled, but you can tell they're in vastly different kind of training backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of, I mean, I notice it. When I was, I guess, younger, that, like, you know, you have your goalie trainers, and when I was younger, like, people could, like, pick out, like, who they were training with, you know, just based on, like, how the goalie was playing. And so you just get molded into this goalie school goalie that, you know, can only really function pretty one-dimensionally, you know, and not really adapt their game too much to, you know, whatever stupid situation that can arise when you're in the net, you know.
I think you only watch like a lot, like I'd say like obviously Devin Levi is like one of those goalies where he's North American goalie, but like you see a lot kind of like almost like a European style to him
where he's
just get stopping the puck. Like sometimes it doesn't look like as pretty as like Carey Price or something, but he's stopping the puck and it's kind of like just getting in front of that puck where he's not, it's not going to be always okay, we are pivoting and pushing nice and even on the butterfly. Like you're never always in the perfect position. So like I think a lot of guys having success right now have that kind of just raw athleticism that got fine-tuned.
But do you think like the Canadian, maybe we should do Canada next just so we have like something to compare to? Because we're obviously the most knowledgeable about what the Canadian goalie coaches and the Canadian hockey stuff does, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think we should almost like postpone that training like from the young age in the sense of, okay, when we get the kids, maybe at like U13, so like Pee-wee, we know that they want to be goalies. Instead of their parents just, hey, my kid's willing, right? Strap on the pad. So prolong it a little bit, let them kind of fail and have some and find success and try to get the athleticism first. A lot of kids don't do any power skating now as goalies. They could just go to the goalie camp and do the goalie power skating, but not the normal player stuff. But what's your opinion or your take on what if like the U7, U9 kids, maybe U11, just be like, no, just go stop the puck, learn how to have fun?
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, that you kind of have to, if you're going to decide to be a goalie, like, you got to have some sort of training, you got to get that foundation down. Like, if you don't know how to, you know, do a basic T-push without, like, I mean, there's so many little things you can break down into a T-push and how to effectively do it, you know, consistently throughout an entire game and your career. But, you know, if, like, the kids, like, can't, they're always falling back and whatnot and don't know how to, like, you know, stack themselves the right way in the crease, like to just to begin with as a beginner. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I know when I was younger, I didn't have that much, but I mean, like, I went to goalie clinics and just a little bit during the summers and, you know, every once in a while during the season. And that helps you like bring stuff into practice. So, I mean, there's definitely value in having that when you're younger, I think, so you can, you know, develop the right habits and get a knowledge of the position from somebody. Yeah.
I'm going to rebuttal that just a little bit, but I want Matthew's thoughts first before I give him all the answers too.
For me, I mean, I kind of just fell to the goalie position where, like, I started skating when I was, I don't know, 3-4 years old. Obviously as a player, and I was always one of those players that, like, I was a good skater as a player, and that's kind of one of the reasons that when it was my turn to be goalie, like, everyone gets a chance to be goalie, like, I could just, like, the gear didn't bother me, I could skate with it still. So I think you're kind of like point of should, like, kids try to be players first, all that stuff. Like, I think a strong skating background really helped me become the goalie I am. And in terms of, like, goalie coaching at a young age, I think it should be heavily focused on just moving with goalie gear. Like, I think the focus too much that I see is that, like, you're trying to teach a 6-year-old how to stop pucks efficiently.
Yeah.
Like, he's covering about 15% of the net. I don't care how good you are, you're not gonna be stopping that much. Where I think I see, like, I mean, just off, like, social media and stuff, like, you see a lot of kind of Russian goalie coaches and their camps, it's a lot of just, like, weird skating movements.
Yeah.
Movement. It's not even like goalie movements, it's just movements with gear on. And I think that's a big kind of, I'd assume a big part of why those European goalies are so mobile with the gear on. It's they're learning how to move naturally with gear on rather than, okay, what's the most effective way to stop?
Yeah, I agree. I started as a player too, and, like, I always went to camps and did that, like, power skating with the players and stuff too. So yeah, that's a really good point.
And the way they do it too, it's so the pace on it's just so fast, right? It's mm-hmm. like maybe once or twice in a camp you get 2 or 3 goalies that have that pace, like, just already embedded in them, where it seems like over there, at least maybe it's just the video, right? Everybody knows the camera's out, so they got to go hard, right? Makes them look good. Maybe I should start doing that.
Got to shine bright under the big lights.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, to rebuttal both of you, just because I've got the coach mindset now. So, yes for Clay, and both, yeah, and yes for you too, Matthew. In the sense of, I do think coaching is good at the young age, but I think right now where Canada's at is there's too many goalie coaches or self-proclaimed goalie coaches, right? So parents got into the mindset of, I always want to have a coach out on the ice. If the head coach is out there teaching the players how to do stuff, there should be a goalie coach out there teaching the kid to do stuff. And what that takes away is the being able to learn about yourself from that age on how you can do stuff. So my take on it is, that kid is doing nothing but skating. Like, we might do shots for the last 10 minutes of a practice just because they probably annoyed me just enough. But do that and then work on the stance to have a good stance, because that's where all the saves are coming from, right? Like, at the U6, U7, U9, kids aren't lifting the puck, but as soon as it hits U11, U13, nets get to the normal size, kids start raising the puck, zipping it. So, like, if you don't have a good stance set, you're kind of chasing from behind, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that you know, piggybacks onto like what we're saying, and like just the basic like foundations of goaltending, because I definitely know I've like coached really young goalies, and yeah, the stances are just atrocious sometimes, you know, and it's just, it can be so frustrating, just like, you know,
they're like this guy's stance.
Yeah. Yeah, worse than that, at least there's net coverage,
but, yeah, the blocker's in the right position at least.
Yeah exactly. But yeah, I mean, like, just when they're young and, you know, developing their kind of style of stopping a puck, I mean, I didn't really know how I was going to be stopping the puck at that age. You just got to play because you definitely want to play. But yeah, coming back to your point about, like, you know, work ethic in there too, I definitely think there's a lack of, you know, when you see goaltending camps around, and, you know, there's like just a couple of kids that, you know, really push the pace, and you can always tell that, you know, they'll might move on somewhere, but there's definitely a lack of discipline in the net when it comes to Canadian goalies that I've seen.
All right, last question about this, and then we're going to get back on we're actually going to get back on track here with it's a great topic, and maybe next round when you guys want to go head to head or something like that, we can talk more about that. What's something that I know, Matthew, you've talked about the last time you're out here, but something that you've seen the Russians kind of excel at or do something a little differently that you've ever tried implementing into your own game, or you just made it a part of your game? I'll let Matthew go first here.
Like, yeah, so I mean, like, I kind of, like, it was honestly, I mean, through goalie coaching, I think at, like, once you get to kind of level, like, a higher up levels, like me and Clay have played, goalie coaching becomes a little bit less, like, obviously at a young age, it's like, all right, learn how to position yourself.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. I feel like you're beating around the bush. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
But at the older levels, it's really like, all right, here's something this guy's doing. He's having success with it. You want to try it out. Like, let's see how you feel with it. And I think that's kind of a big part of it, where, like, for me, it's like I talked about kind of Bobrovsky and Shesterkin, like their style of like movement. Like I barely T push at this point. I use kind of like a weird like shuffle push, and it's really worked for me. Like I just tried it, obviously kind of having my skating background, I was like, you're able to actually do it, but it just like you're just taking pieces. I think that's one thing a lot of people don't do enough of, especially in North America, where we're very much like, oh, we're the gold standard, when, okay, well, like everyone's being the gold standard at this point, like everyone's having success. So there's no, I don't think there's one right answer to any goaltending coach or goalie on how to do something. I think you're just trying to absorb as much knowledge as you can on a bunch of different things. And then, like, me and Clay, like, what, how tall are you? Like 6'5"?
6'4", yeah.
So like, there's a 4-inch difference. Like, his legs are probably my body height alone. So like, each pad is like I'm sniffing the top of his pad. And so like we're just gonna have to play some situations differently, where we're using our bodies in different ways, but at the same time, like, me and Clay will probably do a lot of things very similar and like think of the game in a very similar way. And I mean, our career path, like I was talking before we hopped on here, was like, we both played, what did you play, 4 years in BCHL?
I played 3 years in the BCHL, 1 year junior B. That's where all the magic happens.
So yeah, like 4 years of juniors.
4 years, yeah.
And then like, obviously went ECAC, Ivy Leagues, and then moved on from there. Obviously different paths moving on, but like there's a reason that we both have excelled in similar leagues and similar kind of teams around us.
Yeah. Where
we've either been peppered, we've had some solid teams in juniors, yeah. And like all that stuff, like you can probably go through our game film, even though there's that massive height difference, massive difference in kind of probably goalie coaching growing up. Like, I don't know what Clay's done specifically, what sports he's played other than hockey. Like we probably are kind of different upbringings, although probably a lot of similarities as well. But I think the biggest thing is that it just absorbing other people's kind of knowledge, where no one's gonna have the right answer, like I said, and you just try something out. If you like it, use it. If you don't, well, don't have to use it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Like, with there's being so many goalie coaches out there, you know, everyone might have something to offer you. We definitely touched on this subject like last podcast I did here, and yeah, you definitely can't tell anyone to like pound sand, you know, because they, you know, it might work for you, you know. I mean, you definitely, like, that's a definitely a thing younger kids got to learn to do, is just protect your game and understand what gave you success.
Move on. I have to put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
The Clay Stevenson quote of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are both right. There's no right or wrong way to stop a puck.
Just yeah.
Easy and hard way.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just totally based on yourselves. But let's move on to somewhere else. So we got the starters of the RVH Sweden, right? For me, they're technically pretty sound down low on the post. Very tall stance normally. You have an outlier in Henrik Lundqvist. Or sorry, when they're in their tall stance, they stay very narrow. But then when they go into their shot ready stance, they're usually pretty wide already. Quick, agile. I feel like that's going to be kind of the same for everybody on the list, because we're all of us probably thinking of NHL guys that have excelled.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing that I see is not on the list that we kind of created is the mental side of the Swedish goalies.
Right? Yeah.
They have hockey IQ, calm demeanor. But that's something interesting that was left off the list.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that mental side of it, yeah, that's just, I think, is going to be so relative to just, you know, who you are as a person. You know, it's just, if you're going to make it and be an elite level NHL goalie, like, it's just, that's just a staple you got to have, mental toughness to really get through that absolute grind of a season, you know? And yeah, that's just, I think like every single goalie is going to have that we talk about, you know?
Yeah. Have either of you played with a Swedish goalie?
Or
at least against often?
I don't think so.
There's not many European guys in the ECAC, like juniors. No,
I think most of the European guys go like Big Ten.
Yeah, if they're coming over to play college, like, it's usually a bigger school.
Aren't you technically in the Big Ten now?
I'm Hockey East.
Yeah, Hockey East.
Hockey East. Yeah.
Gotcha.
One of those guys now.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Totally lost my train of thought with that now.
I think just to touch on the mental side, I don't think country, like, I think everyone's going to have their own spin on it. Like, you look at Aiden Hill this year, Stanley Cup champion. Yeah. Guys trying to fight after, like, every whistle. like, that's one thing you don't see a ton of these days, but he won a Stanley Cup. So, like, everyone's going to have their thing. Like, some guys are just going to be kind of more that arrogant, kind of silent arrogance type guy where, like, I don't know, I can't think of, I mean, I guess almost a Carey Price where, like, he just had that cockiness, but, like,
Bennington too.
It was, yeah.
That's not quiet.
It's just one of those things where some guys are just, okay, it looks like he's got zero emotion and that works for him. And it's intimidating. Some guy just, if you get too close to him, you're getting a stick to the back of the knee. Like, it's, but there, I think the biggest thing, it comes to consistency. Like, it just, whatever makes you consistent.
Yeah. Got to find out what makes you tick, you know?
Yeah.
Got to get out there and whatever gets you ready to stop the puck, well, keep doing that.
So just comparing real quick, the Swedish goalies. So think of like top two Swedish goalies that we might know of. I know Henrik Lundqvist, but it's because I'm older. Yeah. I can't think of another Swedish goalie personally.
Is it Markstrom Swedish?
I believe he is. Right, so if you use those two as like the basis here of our thinking, and then we use Vasilevskiy and Bobrovsky, right?
Yeah.
We can use Sorokin or Shesterkin. What's the differences that you see in their games, right? You got a tall guy in Markstrom, tall guy in Vasilevskiy. I think they're also quite different.
I mean, you got Ullmark too. I mean, he just won the best now.
Robin Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's a handful out there, right?
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Right, but all
I know, another I'm 6'4". I'm a big fan of Markstrom's game. You know, he's, you know, big. He, what is he? He's 6'6", and whenever I watch him play, the guy just fills the net like none other. You know, he's a guy that uses his size and, you know, plays that athletic, blocky style of game, you know? And, yeah, like, he's not giving, you know, any extra movement. I think, you know, like him and Craig Anderson are a good comparison. I think they got pretty similar styles of game, both big and play that kind of conservative game because, you know, they can. And then I guess that also determines a lot of your style too, how big you are.
Some might say. Right, but then you look at Vasilevskiy and he's big, he blocks, but his stance is wildly different compared to Markstrom in the sense he's already very low and active.
Yeah, well, you know, when it's up top and, you know, you see his structure, you know, he gets into that position where he's comfortable moving wherever he can when the puck's like up top, you know, he's up looking over everyone. And when that puck's coming, like he's driving down to it, you know, from that tall stance, and then like as he's tracking, you know, he structures himself lower. It's really, and you know, you'll see Shesterkin doing that same thing. Like he's, when the puck's up in the zone, Shesterkin's up tall, he's just patient, waiting on it, waiting for what is about to happen in front of him, you know. And then as like the puck's getting closer and closer, they like everyone, they have that theme of, you know, closing down on that puck and really, you know, suffocating it as it gets in tight. I think, and like Levi's really good at that too. Like he's a good, from what I've seen, like really in tight and whatnot, really good at closing down on pucks.
I think, I mean, kind of looking from like a small goalie's perspective, like you kind of like, You're basically like when it's up top, like you're playing tall, like you're making yourself look as big as possible. And then once it's in tight, you're almost just like getting over top of it so that you, like Levi does it so well where he's like, you get in tight with him. There's a, he won a shootout, was against New York, I think this year, where like he's got like Patrick Kane, I think it's Zibanejad, and one other guy that probably be your round off the three probably most intimidating guys to take a shootout from. But like once they got to that kind of just within 10 feet of the net, like there's no way they were beating up like up high. And like he's not a big guy with 6'1". He's not Markstrom where he can kind of just sit there and his shoulders are still above the crossbar. Where it just getting over top of it again, like you're basically forcing the shooter to shoot low, or you're bringing him to the point where he can't shoot high. And I think that's what a lot of goalies are doing, where, like you said, like even Vasilevsky, like pucks at the blue line, like he's basically straight leg looking over everyone. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it comes in, he's coming kind of like a wave, kind of just crashing down on it. Coming over top of it, where obviously I think he's going to beat him up high.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think rounding it just back out, I'd say like the top strength of like a Russian goalie would be their, I don't want to say like athleticism, but their ability.
Yeah, that's right up there. Yeah, like I think from Vasilevsky and like those, some of those Russian guys, just like the power that they're generating from
their
ready position, you know, is something that I definitely tried to emulate in my game, you know, that you see like goalies and you're like, damn, he's fast, you know, and that's just that, like they're quick on it, they're over top, like they're there, they're ready, there's no extra, you know, that
and then even their ability to get like powerful pushes from a wide like butterfly,
right? Absolutely.
Like it's very quick for them, so I'd say that's like their top.
I think that's the biggest thing we're seeing, Bobrovsky, I watch a lot of Shesterkin, like their ability to move in a already kind of in a position where
a lot compromised position.
Yeah, like they're just, another goalie might barely be able to like kind of get himself back together, whereas they're just loading and pushing off, like making a massive push out of something that like almost as physically like seems impossible.
Yeah,
I feel.
And then going down to Sweden there, I would probably say their top consistent skill across the board, I would honestly just say, as like bad as it might sound, like their ability to stay and maintain the RVH and change the way that they play that style and just let everything come to them. I think often you see them attacking, they let the plays come to them.
I think
definitely.
I think for them, I mean, obviously that I agree with that, but I think it's more of a hockey IQ thing for them. I think Swedish goalies are extremely smart. Like you said, Markstrom, like extremely just efficient. Like he's not making those extra little movements. Like he reads that play where, again, he can stay in that RVH, and because he knows nothing else is going to happen right now. And he's going to sit there and wait it out, where some other guy might be up already and then back down. And I feel like they're very minimalist, almost like IKEA. Yeah. The IKEA of goalies.
That's funny. I agree. I mean, you know, I was really, you know, fortunate enough to like work with a Finnish goalie coach in Hershey and Juha, and we talked a lot about like how I was going to approach, you know, net drives and using the RVH and, you know, even on like power plays and stuff, and or when we're on the penalty kill is what I was trying to say. But and like his whole idea of it was, you know, you can at a certain angle when the puck's like up on the half wall or like dot line to the boards over there coming down, like you can be a lot flatter in your RVH there and still cut down that angle and just like stay patient and wait on pucks like on the post. And I mean, that's a thing we worked on a lot, and you know how quick you can come from a tall position in your RVH back across to get there and stuff like that. And it was definitely a different way for me to approach it and conserves more energy. I mean, I feel like Sweden and Finland, you know, pretty similar.
It's really just taking away an option for the player.
Yeah, for sure.
So now all you're worried about is, okay, down low is covered, which might be the trickiest thing on the sharp angles, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have to worry about the high shot, which is easier to read, or because everything's going to come up, or the pass, right? Quick bounces maybe. But segue into Finland here. my top skill for Finland would be their hands.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, you see lots of great guys. Everyone's got good hands. It's so funny. Like, you just like see like everyone's different styles. You know, everyone's got great hands. Everyone does it somewhat great. It's just slightly different, you know. But yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, a lot what we talked about was, you know, how am I presenting myself, you know, to get the most optimal access to pucks with my hands, and how I'm really closing down in the position to snap down onto pucks, and, you know, really focusing your head onto it and whatnot. And yeah.
I think for me, I mean, a huge Saros fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like, and I mean, obviously try him all in my game a lot, learn a lot from him. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys where I'd say his hands, I mean, obviously his skating is next to none, but his hands are, I think, his best attribute.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like watching him like take breakaways and stuff, and they're coming down right down the pipe, like taking a shot, and he's presenting so well that there's just, you know, not much to shoot at, and he's reading those releases and he shifts into them too, and like it's impressive.
Like just the amount of like just glove and block saves he makes compared to a lot of guys that are, it's hitting like a shoulder, like forearm, like he's, it's like dialed into his pocket or perfectly off the blocker. I think he's really one of the best in the league
for sure.
I think you even just look at the pool of all the Finnish goalies, right? Saros is the hot guy right now, but you have Rask, you have Pikarinne, you have Mika Kiprusoff, Nabokov, which might be before your guys' time.
Oh, right? He's right there. Right at the beginning.
Yeah. So, like, all great skaters, all butterfly guys, right? But the common across the board was glove side was just dynamite, and blocker side was usually dynamite too. Right, they'd be getting beat on like the third, fourth chances most often.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, even like I said, working with a Finnish goalie coach, I would say like the hands and really getting onto pucks is something he emulated a lot. But he, you know, he understood like how I was playing and, you know, what was gonna work for me. And that's the whole thing, is it's got to be pretty individualized once you get up to this level and stuff, and the higher your ranks go, you got to find what works for you.
Yeah, we're really nitpicking to like the differences and strengths, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
That's every goalie in the NHL has good hands, good footwork, maybe slightly not as good as others, but like just nitpicking, find the differences between these countries. And It seems like, it might be a hot take, but like if you look at the top 10 goalies, there's more diversity in where they're coming from than ever before.
Yeah, absolutely there is.
Right. And whether that's they found the right team where their style works better, or they found the right atmosphere, right? Not even team, just atmosphere. Then you look overseas, and their top goalies, it's not as diverse, because I think it's more dominated by, I'll say imports, but that can be like a Finnish goalie going over to Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the thing too, like those with the European leagues and whatnot, you know, like the best guys in the world are going to come over to the NHL. There's only 62 of those jobs, and you know, where the rest of those guys, you know, going to play, and they're going to be elite level goalies in their respective leagues, you know. And like everyone, like all the countries nowadays, like it's getting, there's so much knowledge about goaltending, and everyone's trying to find the new best technique to take goalding, whatever it's going to be. But I think like I think the game is just, no matter where it's going to come from, the idea of it is just going to be, how can we stop pucks the most efficiently, like with the least amount of movements, like the maximizing your structure and coverage, and, you know, not losing your net, and just all those things.
Yeah. last thing here. We're just going to go right to the U.S. Do you guys find that there's a difference between, like, American goalies and Canadian goalies?
No, like, just in general styles. Yeah, I think, like, the overall, you know, approach to it is pretty similar, I think.
I think it's the fact that, like, the leagues are so intertwined. Mm-hmm. That, like, yeah. There's so many American goalies in Canadian leagues. There's so many Canadians in American leagues. Like, it's mm-hmm. everyone's playing the same game. The, like,
caliber of hockey, yeah, I agree.
It's really just, like, everyone's getting trained by the same guys. So, like, everyone's seeing the same people and having the same mindset. So I think North American, like, it's North American goalies. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think you can really.
I think one thing that we kind of didn't talk about too is we grew up on NHL rinks. Where yeah. in Europe, you're growing up on Olympic size rinks.
I think
that's an interesting thing. I haven't really thought about that too much, but I mean, I actually only really ever played on one Olympic sheet, and that was in Surrey. And I found that I honestly had more time with stuff. Sometimes, you know, the players take it wider. It's further away from you. They're passing it seams from the walls. Like, it's a longer, it's
easier to be honest.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. To an extent, I suppose. I mean, there is more room for guys to get lost on the ice and whatnot, but overall, I say it's not too different, but I'd definitely say, aspects.
I'd say the biggest, I think the biggest difference in terms, like, I don't think the ice sheet is the biggest thing. I think it's the style of play. I think Europeans
less physical.
Or, like, North American is very much like systems. Everything's a gotcha. System. Whereas European is a little bit more like there's a few guys just skill. Like, it's all skill. Or, like, they're trying to do something. And, like, I think that's where I'd say maybe the skating comes from, is that they're playing a very, like, it's a lot of passing and it's a lot of, but it's unstructured passing type thing. It's more right. of a passing where goalies have to be more patient because it could be that double backdoor pass.
Right.
I think Europeans are seeing that a little bit more. Like, that's just kind of an example off my top of my head, but they're seeing more stuff like that compared to, like, all right, if they pass backdoor in North America, unless it's practice and guys are being idiots, like, it's not it's going back.
Yeah, it's fair.
So you're just sliding. And it's yeah. almost like that, like, okay, I know this happens, I do this. Whereas Europeans, like, this happens, all right, we don't know what happens next. So it's kind of just like, well, we'll yeah. try. And I think that, like, their patience in skating comes from that.
Right. Yeah, that can be, yeah, that's interesting. Because there's definitely, like, a memory style to your, like, goaltending too. Like, you have a rush coming down, you have some sort of idea of what's going to happen, you know. And yeah, with that, you know, the skating and, you know, the unpredictability of that, and, like, a skill, more skilled game, definitely transitions into your, like, muscle memory of it and whatnot, and not being too one-minded about a play in front of you.
I think that could also be a reason, like, in kind of more recent times, like, European goalies might be having a little bit more success at the NHL level, because the NHL game is almost moving towards a more European style in its own, where guys
yeah, are trying fair.
Things that, like, you've never, like, Zegras to Michigan, like, all these stuff that, like, you've never really seen before. And it's like, all right, you got your RVH guys gonna, like, guys behind the net. Beforehand, it was like, all right, he's not a threat.
Yeah, exactly.
He's either going to, like, skate out or, like, pass out. But you never had to, like, think, like, oh, my God, he's going to flip it over the net or, like, pick it up and try and put it by my ear. Where then it become just, all right, stop the puck. And you're, like, a guy tried to pull a Michigan on me, I think my freshman year. I was like, okay, well, I saw it. And I'm like, all right, let's put my head in. Like, There's no like memorization to, like, you're not practicing that. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Gotta stop the puck. So I think that might be the NHL game, I think, is moving towards more of a European style too.
Yes. Now, team changes.
Yeah. Last question here, and then we'll sign off, at least from the podcast. But if you could go back, right, rewind the clock a little bit, maybe keep it in the same year, so 2023, but you're 14, 16 years old again. What are you doing differently now, like that you get the second chance? Are you utilizing different tools, or are you implementing stuff in your game earlier? If you could, what would you want to do differently, if anything?
Honestly, if I would have had to like go back and teach myself something when I was around that age, I guess it would just be, you know, dial the game back a little bit, try and make it simpler on yourself. You know, you can use like that athletic style and quickness and to lose your net when you have to, but not so antsy on the shot all the time, you know, being patient. And yeah,
fair.
I don't know, it's a tough one. I mean,
it is tough. There's so many things,
but it's like, it's, there's so many things that you can, you learn from experience. And I think that's been a big part of me, where at 14, I think if I was doing the same things I'm doing now, I wouldn't necessarily know why I'm doing it. It would be kind of aimless. Right. Where as like going through juniors, going through 2 years of college hockey so far, things happen where you're forced to adapt, and you're forced to understand why you're doing something now. And I think that's one thing where I think learning to adapt is like probably the biggest thing as you're moving up levels. Cause I mean, you could probably touch on this a little bit more than me, but like when you get to a new level, like each level, I feel like you have less time to adapt almost. And you gotta be able to kind of jump into something new and be basically hit the ground running. And I think that's one thing where it's weird because it comes from experience as a goalie to learn, but you almost have to know that you're not going to know everything and accept that.
Right. Stuff comes to you at the right time, right? Yeah.
You can't force things.
Would you utilize like YouTube and TikTok and Instagram to try to learn more stuff, or would you let the natural process happen a little bit more?
I'd get off social media.
Yeah.
Don't hate that answer.
I got off for a while, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the whole social media aspect of it is good for, you know, like younger kids.
It has to be pointed.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to use it.
Good, they can go out there and try drills and practice. And I mean, I did that when I was younger. I'd see like when that four puck drill was coming out, when you'd spin around all the pucks and whatnot. And, you know, I'd obviously go give that a try. And then you just practice and practice. And then eventually you get pretty good at it. And then you got decent edges around and tight, like moving, like, you know, circular motion, which is great. Like, it's stuff like that, I think, is really useful for it. Or just like you get out there and practice, and they're like, all right, you go take the goalies and do whatever. It's like, oh, what are we gonna do? And it's like, oh, I saw this drill, you know, and stuff like that. I think it's quite useful for.
Gotcha.
I think the one, like, yeah, like that aspect, I definitely agree with. I think the one downside now is like there's so many people being like, this is the right way.
And yeah,
yeah.
Or like it'd be so easy to be like, it's so easy to be impressionable, like with social media. So it's like one kid might be like, oh my goodness, I saw this. It for some reason it clicked in his brain and he's gonna try and force this. And I think that's one thing where it's, you gotta realize like you gotta test and fail.
Yeah. A lot of people talking absolutes now.
Exactly. So it's just like to try something out, but like be honest with yourself. Like, okay, what is this actually doing? Is this helping me? Is this something that's natural for me? Is this actually going to help me moving forward? Mm-hmm. So it's, I think a lot of self-reflection too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I definitely tell myself to start like journaling games too. Thought that was beneficial, but that's probably not something too much of like, should get into that when you're younger. Just enjoy it, I guess. But.
Yeah. I've been trying to tell kids for 5 years now. I think maybe one does it.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, if you don't really understand like why you're gonna, you know, journal games and stuff like that. If you don't have any point of doing it, probably not for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, all right. Yeah. Thank you guys for your time.
See always. You guys next.